Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 679. Still want to say 69, because 69 sounds so much better. 79. Although, 79 is a great year for a silver burst Les Paul. Just saying. Great fucking year for it. Anyway. 679. I'm your host, Joshua Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, the three-legged kitty cat, is hanging out in the other room, in my guitar room, which I haven't been in a whole lot lately, but I opened it up to play guitar on my Fender Champ, which I haven't been using a whole lot lately because it's kind of a mess in there, and hell, the whole upstairs really is kind of a mess. As you know, I was working on the downstairs area. I was putting a lot of junk upstairs and haven't really kept it real clean. My bedroom that I'm recording in is, not in bad shape other than the drywall hasn't been finished. But the guitar room, I got some stuff thrown in there and it's kind of a mess. So I haven't really been playing on my real amp. But today I did before recording. I got out Supreme Leader Barry and finally plugged it into the Fender Champ, the 100-watt Fender Champ I have. And because I've been playing it on the Spark 2 that I have, the Positive Grid Spark 2, which is a decent practice amp. It models a lot of different amps and what have you. But at the end of the day, it's not the real deal Holyfield like of an amplifier. It's not the same as plugging into the Fender Champ or say my Marshall half stack, which I haven't played in fuck a long, long, long time. Need to make my way back over to Muffin Man's at some point and actually plug into that half stack and crank it. Maybe not dime it. Diming it's way too fucking loud. I'll probably go deaf. But I would, like to try out my, I've never played my, Iommi SG or Supreme Leader Barry through that Marshall. I did, of course, play my Adam Jones Les Paul, my first Gibson. I have played that through the Marshall, and it was loud as fuck. But holy shit, just the difference from the Spark 2 to the Fender Champ, which I haven't played without the headphones. So, playing it without the headphones too, also, a big different story. I played without the headphones on the Spark 2, but again, it's just not, it's a practice amp. It does, you can sample different tones, and they sound okay. People upload their own versions of, Foo Fighters, My Hero Tone, or what have you. And you can experiment with, just different amps and effects on there and kind of try to mime tones. But at the end of the day, man, it's not like plugging into like a solid state or a fucking tube amp and smacking down on the pedal board. It's just not the same. Just not the same, but it's convenient. It's really convenient. I don't have to have a massive pedal board in front of me to play a bunch of different stuff or a bunch of different pedals to mimic different effects. It's just I plug it straight into the amp, and it's a good practice amp. But, really hearing it inside that Fender Champ again, I was through headphones. Different story through headphones. But man, it sounded great. When I think about it, it may not have been the first time that I plugged it in there. I may have done it the first night I got it, but I don't think so. I feel like I just went straight into the Spark 2. I don't remember now. I've been working too much. My brain is fucking fried. But it sounded great tonight. Supreme Leader Barry sounded fantastic. Fantastic. And when I've been playing it here lately, just through the Spark 2, it just hasn't been that thrilling. But playing it through that Fender Champ was like, oh, yeah, this is what playing an electric guitar is supposed to be like. This is the good stuff right here. The good, good, good stuff. And I definitely do like the pickups, the burst buckers that are in that, as opposed to the Alnico Classics, I believe it is, that are in my Epiphone Riviera, can't speak, that I've yet to sell. I need to sell that so I can put some more money onto paying off Supreme Leader Barry, which reminds me, I don't remember if I paid this month's guitar payment. As I'm recording this, hey, I might want to check into that. Yeah, I didn't pay it yet. I'll have to do that. I feel like I can do that while also recording this. Man, yeah, I still owe a lot of money on that. I'm not crazy about that. I definitely need to sell that guitar so I have some, more cash that I can drop that down. I don't like seeing owing all that money. That is not something that I enjoy seeing. So that is, but hey, you know, if I keep doing the payments I'm doing it at, I'll have it paid off in just like 2 years-ish. 2 years-ish? Maybe a little bit more. And then again, hopefully I can, when I get back from Germany, maybe I'll, pay a little bit more into that. I should really sell that other guitar. I need to get on that. I'm not really hurting at the moment for cash, so it's not like I guess I have to immediately do it, but I feel like I'm never going to get rid of it if I don't do it soon. I'm enjoying the Supreme Leader Barry. That was a fun little thing, as I did work today. I worked 6 days this week, and I get a three-day weekend next week, so I won't need to crank up a bunch of fucking caffeine like I did tonight before doing the podcast. That's why I'm a little jacked. I did hit a Red Bull before doing this and played guitar after guzzling back the Red Bull. Guzzling back the Deadpool, just throating Deadpool. I should have more energy next weekend. It is a Labor Day weekend. I've got 5 weeks before heading to Germany with my friend John from work, and I should only have to work 2 more Saturdays. Before going to Germany. So I got 5 weeks from today as I'm recording this. This is August 23rd. Leaving on the 27th of September. Coming back on October 5th. And so, if like at work we've been doing 2 Saturdays on, 1 off. And conveniently, because we planned this out a long time ago when we were going to go. Coincidentally, when we scheduled this, we weren't working Saturdays. We should have 4 Saturdays off in a row via, the week we're leaving, I put in for no pay for that Saturday. So, I don't get paid for it, but I'm off the Saturday that we're leaving. And then, of course, the following Saturday, I'm off because I've got vacation already scheduled for that week, and so the Saturday before we leave, and then the Saturday after we come back should fall on those days that we're off. We just happen to be off those Saturdays, so it's gonna be like a month of Saturdays off. I feel like I cheated the system, but it's just luck happened that way. But, you know, I haven't taken any, I think I scheduled 2, maybe 3 vacation days the rest of this year. It's been like, I don't know, I took my birthday off. I think I scheduled 1 day off whenever, or was that, I'm getting confused with last year. This year, I mean, I took the 1 day off for my birthday. I think it was just 1 day. And then the 1 day for the concert, the Sasanta version 2, did that back in May. And other than, I was going to say with the air conditioner stuff, getting that put in, but I got that done last year. That's been over a year that I got that done. So, yeah, I think it's only really been 2 days I've scheduled vacation for this year. You know, the rest of the time, the rest of the vacation I'm using is going to be all for going to Germany. So, you know, it's going to be pretty much 10 months in, you know, by the time we leave for this trip, and I've only scheduled 2 fucking vacation days. That's rough, man. That's rough. It's a long time to go with only having 2 vacation days. Now, I did call in a couple of times because I do have sick time, but that happened like 2, maybe 3 times, you know? So I haven't had a whole lot of downtime. As Agent Fox Mulder is coming to say hi, the Turkish van has appeared. Yeah, what's up, buddy? I my friend Megan, of course, it just messaged me earlier, actually, about another kitten that they have that is going to get an amputation, and she's still trying to get me to get yet another 3-legged cat. But I'm thinking we're still cool with just him and myself. I don't feel like I need another friend. We tried that before with Scully, although maybe if, you know, it's a very young kitten, then it'll be, the cat won't be such a dick to Fox here. And, you know, and it's one that's, you know, going through, about to go through an amputation. Maybe he could help, you know, this little fella, you know, find his way through that, you know, since he's been through the same stuff. Although this other kitten, that kitty's got, it's going to be the back leg that's going to be gone. I still think that, I don't need another cat after the whole Scully debacle. Yeah. Fox is like, yeah, fuck you. You're not getting another cat, man. You're not getting another cat. This is a 1-kitty household. I'm still like, you know, speaking of going to Germany, like I still feel just bad that I'm going to leave this fella here as he is attached to my hip pretty much the entire time I'm home. Like he was in the other room, the guitar room, for the first, you know, like 10 minutes of this podcast, basically. Because I hadn't opened that room in weeks, probably, and he doesn't get to go in there much anymore because I just haven't been in there. So he was fucking excited to go look out that window. He's like, man, I haven't looked out this window forever. Although the room next door, like which I just use as storage, which I was going to put a treadmill in until Amazon just ran out of inventory on the treadmill that I ordered. And then I guess the tariffs fucked that up. And then they just like, oh, sorry, you can't get it. After they already said, I think they had already said they shipped it, but then there was like, nope. I did get my money back on that, though. But now it's, yeah, I didn't put a treadmill in there. And so it's not a treadmill room. It's still just a storage room, but it's got his cat stuff in there. The cat tree and shit's in there because, again, I was working on the downstairs, needed a place for it. So now he's got like his own room and he can sit at the cat tree and just look right out that fucking window, which is not that far over from the guitar room. I can't see how that window would have much of a different view, but he gets excited because he hasn't been in there forever. He's like, I can go look out this window. But, you know, I don't know. I'm not a cat. I don't know what, I mean, he might be able to see like a foot or two, a couple feet over, you know, out that window that he couldn't see from the other window. And maybe that's just just the perfect view on a squirrel or something. I don't know. I don't know what exactly he's gazing at out there. He's just longing for the outside. Although he doesn't try to go out. So, I don't know what exactly. I'm sure it's probably a bird or something of that sort. A squirrel or a goblin. You know, who knows? Who knows what's out there? I don't go outside. Not much anyway, other than to like run. I did. I'm trying to remember if I did this before. I guess I did. I order it after podcast. I have no fucking concept of time anymore. When I do things, when things happened, whatever, what have you. I did order off Etsy The Shining from the Overlook Hotel. I believe I had already gotten the key holder by the time I'd done the last podcast and mentioned that. With what are those, hexagons? Pentagons, I guess. I think they're five-sided. I don't remember now. now I'm counting. I guess that's a pentagon. That looks like five sides. Yeah, it's five-sided. Pentagon shapes with like the orange, black, and well, that's a little confusing. The one, it's not exactly the same. But yeah, it's got the pentagon shape with the red in the middle, the black around that, and then orange around that. It's not on the walls in The Shining. But they have the carpets where Danny Torrance is riding his big wheel over the carpet and or the rugs rather. And that's the best looking one. There's also the green one, like a pattern with a lot of green on it. I prefer the orange or black one though. It looks great. The key holder looks great on my wall with the black and red. And I was like, you know what? I really needed. I believe I talked about it last week, but I don't know that I remember if I'd ordered or not. But I did order some wallpaper to put above the kitchen cabinets and, of course, in the dining room above the sliding glass door. There's a nice little area that just feels like it needs something, you know? I might have to smooth out the walls a little bit more and do some more painting, though, because I am a little concerned. Because there's some areas above there where I didn't bother to, before painting it, to really smooth out. And I'm afraid that's going to be a real issue when I put the wallpaper up. Afraid it's going to bubble a lot and just look kind of funky in those areas, or might tear. So I'm thinking I might have to, fix that a little bit. I'm a little concerned. But, you know, at least if I patch it, and then smooth it, sand it, do a real good job sanding and whatnot. I don't have to worry about getting the paint perfect because I'm just going to put wallpaper over it. The paint is really just to help hold the wallpaper. I'm afraid, if I just have areas where there's not paint on there, then it's just not going to properly stick the wallpaper there. As Agent Fox Mulder's purring. He doesn't do that a whole lot. I mean, certain times he does some good purring, but he's purring a lot there. He's excited to be up here, man. He's letting it be known. I'm pretty excited about that. I did go back and I watched The Shining, The Shinin, as they call in The Simpsons, to avoid copyright. I went back and watched The Shining, which, I don't remember if I ever saw that in the theater or not. I mean, it was, of course, original theatrical release was before I was born, so obviously I didn't see it for its original release. But there was a time in my life where I went to the movie theater to watch a lot of older movies. I know I went to Ronnie's often there for a while, like on Friday nights, because I just used to go up to Ronnie's a lot. I mean, I used to just go watch movies a lot in general at the theater. And I loved watching, like, older movies. I want to say it was like Friday nights they would do it. This is pre-Marcus Theaters, Ronnie's. This is Werenberg. She's got the greatest... To me, it will always be the... I think it's just, you know, I grew up with it, is probably the nostalgic factor for me is what does it. But the greatest intro to me to a movie theater is the Werenberg. Werenberg Theaters. Werenberg. Is that whispering at the end is very... pretty great. Anyway, yeah, it was back when it was the Werenberg Theaters. And, you know, I've been going online trying to find Werenberg stuff, like signs and stuff, and I just can't find any. I was hoping to find, like, a sign or something. Like, that'd be cool. I love Werenberg Theaters. It'd be great to have some stuff with the Werenberg logo and shit on it. But, yeah, I hadn't really noticed anything like that online. I imagine there's got to be somewhere, there were these theaters that existed. People loved them. You know, there was a lot of love for the Werenberg brand. I watched The Shining. I don't recall actually seeing it on the big screen before. I know I saw A Clockwork Orange at Ronnie's. On the theater again. That was way before I was born, so it was not its original theatrical release, but it was at Ronnie's over a decade ago. And I really enjoyed that, and it was cool seeing stuff that I didn't realize before, because I had always seen it like on a small TV, like really before I had even gotten like a flat screen television. Would have been all I would have seen of A Clockwork Orange before seeing it at Ronnie's. And so it was kind of funny. Like, there's the part where there's that counselor. What, I haven't even seen Clockwork Orange in many years, but the counselor is coming to see Alex's at his parents' apartment or whatever they have you, and he's drinks from that glass and it had the dentures in it. And I didn't realize there was dentures in the glass. Before seeing it at Ronnie's when it was on the big screen. So it is definitely different. It is definitely a treat to see these old movies again, like, and just on the big screen. Like, The Shining, that's the way it's meant to be seen. I couldn't even tell you the last time I watched The Shining. It's been many years. But it's one of those movies that, you know, a lot of it is just in... blazoned into my head. I mean, it is such a... The cinematography in that movie, and I mean, everything is just so iconic. The look of everything. You know, I spoke about The Evil Dead a few weeks ago, which I think came out, what, like a year after The Shining? I want to say Evil Dead was like 81, which The Evil Dead had some very unique... camera shots in it where they were following, making it look like the demon was like flying basically with the camera. which I think, again, I'd have to really do some typing and looking, but the cat is really blocking my keyboard at the moment. As he is He's blocking me from that. He's like, fuck you, you're not doing that. I guess I could do it via the phone, and it wouldn't be loud and annoying anyway. but I want to say, I know The Shining came out in 1980. Evil Dead, I want to say, was 81. I would venture to guess, yeah, 81. So they were like a year apart. I don't know that Sam Raimi had seen... you know, The Shining, when he was putting together The Evil Dead, but, you know, I feel like he might have had given him some ideas for the camera shots in The Evil Dead, which, you know, there was the Steadicam that was used in The Shining for, you know, the big parts of that were are the most awesome, like, footage of that is really Danny Torrance riding through the Overlook Hotel in the on the big wheel, riding over those rugs, which creates creates such great audio too. I mean, Kubrick was a fucking quite the artist, shall we say. But you get that audio of the plastic wheels on the big wheel rolling over the wood flooring, and then the muffled sound it hits when, like, the rug plus the Steadicam following the the big wheel, very much like a, you know, somebody like creeping up on him, you know, like a demon or what have you, a ghost. And it is somewhat similar to some of the shots that were done in Evil Dead. I still think the camera usage in that one is, like, very unique, you know. But I'm not sure how long Sam Raimi worked on Evil Dead before, you know. He was probably working on it at the time that The Shining came out. You know, maybe they already even had it shot. So I don't know that that had any kind of inspiration towards Sam Raimi. But, I mean, Kubrick, I know, inspired a lot of people. But, I mean, The Shining, oh, man, that is... After watching The Shining on the big screen, I was like, I definitely, like, okay, we got to order this wallpaper. it's so much better. I mean, The Shining is just a great film. But, like, man, it is so much better on a big screen. That opening sequence, when they're driving up to the Overlook Hotel and they're going through the mountains, and there's a... Which is very interesting to watch this now, because I don't know how much Stanley Kubrick paid. Or, well, I mean, it's not like he paid it out of his pocket. It was, you know, the studio that paid for it. But I would imagine they paid a fuck ton to get that camera footage in the beginning, because they had a helicopter, you know... following their VW Bug, which gives me very much vibes of Ted Bundy. Very Ted Bundy vibes there. I want to say it's the same color that Ted had. And that was around the time that Bundy was killed. I forgot what, again, I think I talked about this briefly last week, because I just watched a little bit of The Shining before doing the podcast, if I remember correctly, last week. But... Okay, the Stephen King novel, it's a red bug, and, like, Kubrick, from what I understand, was like, fuck you, I'm going to make it a different color bug, because I don't really give a shit about remaining true to the novel. But does the color of the vehicle really fucking matter? I don't know. But anyway... man, yeah, it just, that opening sequence, going through the mountains, which Agent Mulder was kind enough to let me use my keyboard now. No, I don't want to shine. There's apparently mountains called The Shining. The Shining Mountain. Oh, there's a novel. The noun? I can't type. I probably should have just kept doing it with the phone. That's somewhere in Colorado. I mean, I forgot the name of the actual hotel there. The mountains in The Shining. There we go. Here, what is it? The Winding Road. Okay, that is the Road to the Sun, Montana. That's okay. I was thinking that. I think they also use the Road to the Sun. I think that's also it. I may not be correct on this, but I feel like that's also in Forrest Gump. That sequence going through the mountains, man, is just fucking fantastic. And they, of course, used a helicopter, which they had to. I imagine probably didn't do it in one take. They probably did at least several passes. And it has to be, I mean, just to, you know, fuel a helicopter and whatnot. I mean, they had, I would assume, just rented one. But man, yeah, that helicopter shot at the beginning, plus the score of music with it is so very disorienting. The way the helicopter moves, and then the score with it, again on the big screen, surround sound. It was pretty awesome. Which, yeah, I guess that was filmed in Montana. Yeah, the opening sequence. Which, what is... Here we go. Shiny locations. Oh, I don't care about the Boulder, Colorado's where the Torrance's apartment scene was. That is the Sun Road in Glacier National Park, which I would fucking love to go there. Holy fuck. This is off of gigster.com. And the article in there, where was The Shining filmed? Blah, 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 blah. We'll go down here to the family drive to the resort scene in The Shining. Okay, first thing that strikes you as you see the filming locale of Glacier National Park is the silence. The air is thick and still, and the only sound is the crunch of boots on the trail. The landscape changes from forests of Douglas fir and ponderosa pine to wide open snowy expanses. Despite the silence, there is a feeling of life all around. Even the mountains seem alive as their jagged peaks loom overhead, but still there is utter quiet. It is an otherworldly place, and it's easy to see why filmmakers have been drawn here for the filming of The Shining. The opening scene of The Shining is one of the most memorable in horror movie history. It immediately sets the tone for the film with a family driving through a beautiful but eerie landscape. This is further emphasized by the sound of the car engine, which slowly builds to a roar as the family speeds toward their destination. By the time they arrive at the Overlook Hotel, the viewer is already on edge and ready for whatever scares lie ahead. This scene was filmed on Going to the Sun Road leading into Glacier National Park. The production crew did a terrific job filming the car as it climbed. The road was clear and the weather was warm. As the car made its way closer to the lodge, the winter landscape began to appear. As a result, the beginning is one of the most iconic scenes in The Shining. Okay, the actual lodge here is leaving the Overlook Hotel scene in The Shining, Timberline Lodge, Mount Hood National Forest in Oregon. The location used for the exterior of the Overlook Hotel was Timberline Lodge, located on the south face of Mount Hood in Mount Hood National Forest, Clackamas County, Oregon. The lodge is situated off Timberline Highway, which runs parallel to Highway 26 and can be accessed via West Leg Road. The lodge was built in the 1930s and is still a popular ski resort. The snowcat scene where Wendy and Danny escape in the film is in front of the resort. It's a dark and stormy night, perfect for the ending of the movie. Jack is left behind and freezes in the maze outside the hotel. You can hear him yelling, "Wait!" But the audience is not sure of his intentions. Does he not want to be left behind? Either way, Timberline Lodge remains a popular destination for tourists and horror fans alike today, offering stunning views of Mount Hood and the surrounding area. It's a popular destination for all kinds of visitors who come to enjoy extensive hiking. Yeah, I already got it. I had some friends. I did a group run, of course, Thursday. It was third Thursday. And some friends that I run with, Tara and my friend Frank, saying they'd both, stayed at this resort. And it's fucking expensive. Frank stayed there a couple of decades ago, I think. And it was still like about $300, like a fucking night or something like that. It's in a beautiful place. Timberline Lodge. I believe it's still kind of expensive. Let's see what let's see what a room costs there. Oh man, Timberline Lodge. I'm pulling up their website. the lodge. Do 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 do. I think it's fucking expensive as shit. I would like to see the room. Yeah, the rooms don't look anything like they do in The Shining. Because the interior, I don't believe, was from that at all. I think they really just built that, if I'm not mistaken. Don't know that for sure. But let's see how... Oh, man. Let's just see what a queen with no twins. Queen double economy twin. Let's find, like, the smallest room here. What's the chalet? What the fuck is this? I mean, it definitely looks like a resort. Let's see here. Let's... Okay, chalet small is I guess is how you pronounce that. It's our European style bunk rooms provide a fun and authentic alpine experience for those enjoying everything Mountainhood has to offer. The small chalet rooms are located near the heated outdoor pool, hot tub, and sauna. Chalet rooms have shared access to several private bathrooms and showers and toiletries. Let's just see. Let's just for shits and giggles. Let's check now. What's today? whoa! Are you fucking kidding me? wow. Now this is wow. Oh, well, you got to have a group. Okay, it's a group. I was like, I saw the price tag and like, holy fuck, are you shitting me? Okay, I saw the price tag and the cheapest one was $2,500. But that's for up to 10 people. That's like if I went like this weekend. Well, it said the first thing I saw, average nightly rate, $4,500. But that's for up to, you can have up to 24 people with that. So you divide that up between 24 people. So, you know, it's like several hundred per person. But like, holy fucking shit. Like that was, oh my gosh. Yeah, you better bring a bunch of people. Yeah, it is expensive. I mean, it's cool looking though. I mean, it is definitely cool looking. I mean, it's the fucking... Hotel from The Shining. That is very... let's... Yeah. I'm trying to see if there's... They gotta have... More, like, picture. Let's just see the... I'm not, like, into skiing and shit. Or camping. I mean, if you're going to pay for a hotel like that, you're obviously not camping, but I do like hiking and stuff. So, I mean, if I went there during warmer season, which I don't think they're open all year round, but it would be cool to do some hiking and shit through there. I would have to have a bunch of fuckers with me because, Oh, that is insane, man. That is some crazy, crazy shit. I can take a virtual tour. This is only for the weddings, though, that is showing me. I don't really... Oh, here we go. This is, this is the outside. Here we go. That just looks... Yeah, I mean, it's definitely... the outside's definitely from The Shining. Yeah, I mean, the inside, it looks like a fucking... There's a lot of wood, which it looks awesome in there, but it doesn't look like anything like, you know, the interior to The Shining. It does look like there's some Native American stuff. Of course, in the film The Shining, there's a lot of stuff to do with Native Americans in there. There's kind of stuff all over the walls. And, of course, they mentioned that there was a Native American... The hotel in the movie, of course, was the Overlook Hotel, was built on a Native American burial ground. And, you know, you get the reason. The impression that these ghosts and stuff have to do with the fact that they had, you know, built this fucker on a Native American burial ground. Anyway, I mean, yeah, it looks like a cool fucking hotel. Would I, knowing how much it costs? I mean, I love mountains. I love being around the mountains. It probably would be pretty sweet to just do some hiking and stuff, but I'd have to find a bunch of people to do it with me. That's a problem. I mean, I can probably, you know, it'd probably have to do something with the run group if I had any shot at doing that, but it's not something that's real high on my list. I do love The Shining. But, yeah, back to just watching that on the projector and, yeah, it just, seeing that again after so many years and just how good Jack Nicholson is in The Shining. It's just, you know, fantastic. And I, acting all together, I mean, Shelley Duvall is quite fantastic in it. And I don't remember Danny Torrance, the actor that plays Danny Torrance's real name. It's Danny something, I believe. But, I mean, that kid was fantastic. Just the fucking, just the look of it, man. I mean, that is a movie that was made for the big screen. And I just, you know, before doing the whole projector thing, I rarely go to the movie theaters. I've picked it up a little bit. I mean, post-COVID, you know, COVID and after that, I've definitely not seen as many movies in the movie theaters. But that being said, you know, I've done it more frequently in the recent, like, I don't know, 2 years or so. But, you know, most of the time, I'm just watching shit on my phone, honestly. but now that, of course, yeah, the projector, I watch a lot more movies now. And movies, not just, like, shows. Like, because I want to watch stuff that was made and intended for a big screen. I did, after watching The Shining, I went and watched Dr. Sleep, which I had seen once before. It came out in 2019. I watched it not in the theater. I watched it like right after it came out of the theater. And I watched it again. It's an entertaining film. You know, it's nowhere near as good as The Shining. Man, the woman that they cast as Wendy Torrance did a very good job on, like, she sounds a lot like Shelley Duvall, and she looks a fair amount like her. I think the Jack Nicholson character, I mean, there's really, Jack Nicholson is just, I mean, there's no other Jack, just the look, the man's face is, I've seen Jim Carrey, you know, mimic his face, but no one's, like, facial structure. Now, Shelley Duvall is, like, I can't imagine anybody else in that role. And, you know, I don't know the actress's name in the Dr. Sleep. But, I mean, she's not, like, a dead ringer for Shelley Duvall, but she really did a great job on the voice and stuff. But, and, I mean, she looks a lot like her, and they, you know, did a lot to make her look like the OG Wendy Torrance. But the Jack, I mean, he kind of looks like him, but I imagine it's just hard to find somebody that's just like Jack Nicholson. That is, there's a mug that was made for the big screen. I mean, he really, I mean, the first Batman with Michael Keaton in it, is him as the Joker, and just those eyebrows. I recently saw somebody on, like, I guess it was Instagram, doing a sketch, and it was like they had a skull already made, and then they were putting a face over the skull, and it's like, how long does it take you to figure out who it is? And they first started with the eye, and as soon as they started drawing the eyebrows, like, Jack Nicholson, right there. I know that eyebrow. And sure enough, it was Jack Nicholson from The Shining. But, I mean, I do love me some Ewan McGregor. And he's, of course, in Dr. Sleep. And Rebecca Ferguson, she looks pretty damn good as Rose the Hat, which is the main antagonist in Dr. Sleep. And she's got that cool fucking hat, you know? I've never actually read the Stephen King novel of The Shining or his Dr. Sleep novel. So I can't tell you what what he changed, what he not. I mean, I've watched YouTube videos that tell me certain things that were changed. Not so much on the Dr. Sleep, but I've seen a lot of shit on The Shining. Anyway, Dr. Sleep's, you know, it's worth a watch. Is it quite as cinematic as The Shining? No, but I mean, they have, you know, they go back to a lot of the locations. It is pretty sweet to go back to the Overlook Hotel, you know, decades after it had been shut down. And it's, you know, they're bringing it back to life, basically. It's pretty epic. But man, I mean, just this projector thing and just, you know, turning the downstairs into a movie theater has really reignited my passion for film. I mean, the last, you know, I don't know, 10 years or so, as you find out about more and more people that, you know, run Hollywood, which really has been all of the history of Hollywood, if you look back at it, you really find, you know, there's been a lot more news about just horrible people, like, involved in Hollywood. You know, your Harvey Weinsteins, your damn it. Spacey. Kevin Spacey. That's what I was going to. Usual Suspects. I love some Kevin Spacey films, but it's hard to go back and watch him knowing that he's just a big scumbag and, you know, just a, you know, he's a rapey. He's rapey. Rapey. But, you know, going back again to Hollywood, to back in the day, you know, there was just, it's always been kind of a, when you have, the thing is, it's a lot, I think you go to any industry where there's, or just any, you go to billionaires. Billionaires are disgusting, horrible people. You're never going to fool me otherwise. There's no, oh, this is the one good billionaire. No, fuck that. They're all scumbags. You don't get to be a billionaire without fucking over millions of people. But, you know, there's, through the history of Hollywood, there's the Titans of Hollywood or something to that effect on Netflix. I believe I mentioned it last week. They get into, you know, some of the dirt on the early days. And, you know, drugs are in abundance and what have you. And I think people, when you have a job or you're just, I guess nowadays, even if you're not getting paid for it, if you're just like internet famous, if you got a lot of people telling you you're fucking awesome and they fucking love you to death, that shit can go to your head, I would imagine, pretty quickly. And you can turn easily into a real piece of shit of a person. Not excusing it, but it's been weird because, you know, the last decade or so, as stuff has come to light about a lot, you know, I think it's just that information nowadays, the information when is just so much more out there, not just people in Hollywood, but musicians and, you know, bands I followed and finding out like, oh no, they're not great people. And it's as I've gotten older, it's been harder to like separate like a movie or a song I like from knowing about, you know, bad shit. You know, after watching the Leaving Neverland documentary, like I used to really dig some Michael Jackson stuff, even though before watching that documentary, I was like, oh yeah, he definitely did horrible shit to children. Though, you know, to be fair, I mean, I don't know, this doesn't make it better, but in my opinion, but you know, he did a lot to help children, but he really loved children. And in my brain, it seemed like that was like his later life before. Like I used to justify it in my brain. It would be like, well, you know, Thriller, it didn't happen till like after Thriller, after the good albums, because, you know, the last, you know, 20 plus years of his life, he was putting out shit music. And that was after he started doing horrible shit to kids. Watch Leaving Neverland. Like, oh no, that wasn't the case. He was pretty much always doing bad shit to kids, as an adult. Allegedly. I don't think anybody in the Jackson estate, though, is probably too worried about suing me at this point. according to watching that documentary, man, it's still hard to like hear Michael Jackson songs. I don't like put that shit in any like playlists on my iTunes anymore. There's not, and you know, he had some real bangers. Billie Jean is a great fucking song. You know, there's a lot of great music in his discography. I even have a hard time listening to Jackson 5, like the early stuff, you know, and he was a child then. You can, you know, as far as I know, he wasn't doing real horrible shit back then. He had a mouse as a friend, didn't he? At least he made the movie about it. Anyway, and he's long dead, so it's not like he's abusing people now. But that's kind of, I think, to me, kind of seems like an extreme case. Whereas, you know, here, more recently, you know, I remember doing a podcast after I read Dave Grohl's book, and even talking about, you know, I was going to get his guitar, and you know, I decided to go with a more expensive route. I do like Dave Grohl's guitar, the DG335, and I didn't. I wanted something better than my Riviera, and I just really wanted, but I figured the Pelham Blue's cool, but it's just not, it's not a Blueberry Burst ES Supreme, you know? And I wanted something, I really wanted a burst where I could see the figuring on the wood, like a flame. I really wanted a quilted top, but anyway, the point is, you know, I found out stuff about Dave Grohl. The secret love child that he had with this other woman outside his marriage didn't bother me as much as some of the other shit I found out after that about the Foo Fighters in general. The AIDS denialism, that was like, oh, fuck, come on, guys, really? That, I still love me some Foo Fighters music, though. Like, the Foo Fighters music, as far as I know, I haven't, you know, maybe I should pay more attention to the lyrics, I guess, but I don't think there's anything in their lyrics that say like AIDS isn't real. But apparently, you know, back in the day, that was pretty much their you know, people don't die of AIDS. I don't know what the exact words were. Don't take me I'm just shooting from the hip here. But there is video footage of them talking about basically AIDS denialism. They're talking about it's not going to kill you and shit. And, you know, that this is way before COVID that they were doing this. This is like when they came out. Was it 98 that they put their first? Or no, it was before 98. Sorry. It was like, fuck. Because Cobain died in 94. Foo Fighters came out like 95 or 96. I don't remember. Exactly. But I mean, they were putting this stuff out, I think, fairly early on in the Foo Fighters days. And they had like their links to their website about this kind of shit. And it's like, ooh. I wish I didn't know it. I wish it wasn't true, but like that, I wish I would have remained ignorant to it. But yeah, I can't not like my hero, the song that is, or Learn to Fly, or anything off the Wasting Light album. I mean, fucking Rope, you know, Bridges Burning. There's some bangers on there, man. There's some, just, some good shit. The Pretender, not on Wasting Light, but you know, they've just got so many great songs. And you know, those early Foo Fighters like videos were so entertaining too. I mean, it was clearly a band that liked to have fun. They just, you know, didn't believe AIDS was a real problem. again, yeah, you know, hopefully, you know, people weren't looking to the Foo Fighters for, you know, health advice. But you have to wonder, because, you know, their website did, you know, lead to that sort of stuff. And they were promoting stuff. Like, did somebody decide to not get medical help when they had, you know, HIV? And, you know, it could have possibly lead to their death. That's kind of, that's pretty fucked up. That's pretty fucked up, you know? To me, I guess still raping a child is still more fucked up to me, but because I feel like taking medical advice from a band, that should just be a given. You shouldn't do that. Like, again, not saying it's good and just give them a complete pass on that, but really, you shouldn't be taking medical advice from a band. But, you know, we live in a country where, or I live in a country, and so do the Foo Fighters, because I realize anybody listening to this could be in other countries. I see, you know, the stats on here, and I do have people from other countries listening. So in the United States, you know, you can't afford, you know, healthcare unless you've got a fair amount of money. Even with insurance, you know, if you're going to have a cancer or some real bad illness that needs surgery or consistent like healthcare, you know, and like drugs, it's going to bankrupt you. So, you know, I can see why people end up doing stupid shit, like listening to just people online and not seeking out the help of a doctor. But again, maybe don't go after the advice from a band, especially on a STD. I mean, clearly, Dave Grohl likes to stick his dick in things. he might have, you know, reasons to pretend like STDs aren't a problem. It seems more like a little bit more wishful thinking than, say, scientific testing, if you will, or what have you. I don't know what best way to describe that, but yeah, it's weird, man. It's crazy being it's very wrong. To have so much information out there to be able to see on so many people, and it's, you know, if this was the 1980s, and the Foo Fighters were, you know, around back then, I wouldn't have been able to find that information out. I wouldn't have been able to go online and then find that out. Dave Grohl would have like 20 secret love childs, and I would never hear about him until, you know, a couple decades later when there was some kind of some make behind the music or something special made. But yeah, I have, with the movies, at least I'm starting to, you know, realize there's just so many people involved with movies that are just bad people. Which again, I knew that before, but I guess not knowing the exact facts about it, like hearing the stuff that Harvey Weinstein really did. Although, to be honest, before all the stuff, Harvey Weinstein had done, became public knowledge, honestly, I had heard of Harvey Weinstein. I mean, a fan of Tarantino, and you can't fucking see a Tarantino movie without seeing the Harvey the Weinstein Corporation and seeing Harvey Weinstein's name all the fuck over it. I had heard people talk about Harvey Weinstein before this, but, you know, I never really paid attention to it. I knew studio execs and stuff were like, some horrible people and whatnot. That there's, you know, always been some bad people. I'm just people with a lot of money and power. It's just kind of go hand in hand. But it is weird seeing that. I can't help but not see that name now every time I put in an old Tarantino movie. It's like, oh man, can we just put a new edit out of that and maybe just disappear that name? But I think I'm getting to a point where I can kind of separate that stuff and just, I mean, they're actors. I don't need to know their personal life and just watch the movie and be entertained. You know, maybe I can get to a point where I can watch Kevin Spacey and some more movies again of his older movies. I don't need the current Kevin Spacey, this batshit crazy Spacey. Although he probably was batshit crazy before, just unaware. but I don't know. I'm like, there's, as far as I know, you know, Jack Nicholson hasn't done anything too horrible. But I don't want to dig into it. I just want to watch and enjoy The Shining. Although with the part like Jack played in The Shining, Jack Torrance, he is an awful person. I mean, he abused Danny. They do establish that. And he does try to murder his family. So he's a guy that you shouldn't like. So, you know, it's okay. Like, not saying... I hope Jack Nicholson isn't a totally horrible person. I remember hearing the story. I don't even remember. I think it's just like a Hollywood like legend tale. I don't know if this ever actually happened, but many people have told the story of Jack Nicholson being at a party, I guess, and a woman asking him if he wanted to dance. He's like, wrong verb. Like, hey, we're going to fuck, you know? Wrong verb, man. I don't know if he really says... man, but Danny boy, I'm trying to do the eyebrow thing with my eye. I don't think you can quite hear it. I don't have quite the Jack Nicholson eyebrows, as again, no one does. There is something crazy about that face, and it is so cinematic. Him running around with that fucking axe, man, you just going to town and just screaming at Danny, and you know, of course, doing the Here's Johnny bit from, of course, the Johnny Carson show, which Stanley, he just like ad-libbed that in there, apparently. And Stanley Cooper was, he's from, you know, England or somewhere in the UK and was unfamiliar with Carson. Like, I can't imagine in 1980, he had to have been, right? I know I've seen people say that, or at least in at least one YouTube video that somebody said that he was unaware of the Johnny Carson show. I find that hard to believe. Even if he was British, he was a big-time film director by the time The Shining came out. He had to have been on Carson, right? Even if he's fucking English? I don't know. Yeah, again, I don't... Yeah, I'm already as I'm saying that. I don't buy that. I feel like Kubrick probably just let that, just like, you know, that's pretty funny, or what have you. Add just a little bit of humor. Just, here's Johnny. Here's Johnny. That shot where Jack is inside the pantry and the shot is underneath him. You're just like below him and just seeing those fucking eyebrows and just the menacing look on him. Just fucking fantastic, man. There's just so many great shots in that movie. Hopefully that I do a good job of putting that wallpaper up, but I didn't spend a whole lot on it because I didn't need much. I'm hoping that if I fuck some of it up, I can just, you know, reapply it and then I have to redo the walls. Agent Fox really wants me to get off because it is time to clean his litter box and brush him and give him treats, as he's really he's like, fuck you, dude. Fuck you. Anyway, yeah. Only 5 more weeks until I leave you for a week, buddy. I feel bad for it. I feel bad about it. I will have, I think, a couple of people checking on him every day, so make sure he doesn't die, you know, that he stays fed. Got the automatic feeder, you know. Should get his litter box still scooped every day. I'm hoping that, you know, I'll have at least one person checking on it every day. And I just hope it doesn't break his heart too much. It's going to break mine. I'm going to feel terrible, man. I won't be able to sleep probably because I'm used to him just sleeping on me. I'm probably more worried about it, and it'll probably affect me more than it will him. But I don't know. I doubt it. I mean, this guy is really attached to me. But then I... yeah, good thoughts. Well, think good thoughts. Oktoberfest, beer... Before I leave, I should mention I've started training for Germany in more ways than one. I've been practicing a little bit on my German. Ich verstehe ein bisschen Deutsch, you know. I've known that for years, but a little bit. But I, for the last 3 days, I have had alcohol. I had alcohol earlier, Thursday. So Thursday, Friday, and today, Saturday, I've had alcohol. Not a lot, but having multiple days, get my body used to it. It's like I'm going to have 7 days over in Germany. Going to need to be a little ready to have a drink or two, or, you know, a dozen. I doubt I'll have a dozen. There are liters of beer. I don't need a dozen liters. That's going to hurt. I might die if I have like a dozen liters of beer in a night. I better wrap it up here. Fox is really, really upset with me here. But so as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.